broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, December the 19th, 2025. 12:19:25, 14 minutes past the hour. Last Friday before the big Christmas holiday, but you do have 6 days left. Christmas is on a Thursday this year, and we'll be on air next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And as I said in hour number one, we are joined in studio today by Abby Chase, friend. And again, holidays, good to have people in to reconnect and remember Christmases past, present. And I guess you can't remember the future, but we might have a Christmas in the future. You never know.
Right.
Depends on how things go today.
True.
Now, there are two other moments that I thought of during the break.
Oh, no.
These are actually halfway decent moments.
Okay.
One year, you and I were having a conversation about, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
And you wrote a story that year.
I did.
Because you were having an issue with Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And you wrote it. And you showed it to me, mm-hmm. and I read it, and I thought it was great,
mm-hmm.
and you came in and read it on the program, and I think if people went in the archives, they could go back and find that.
They probably could.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was probably 2022-ish.
2022, so go back, and if they find your name during December, mm-hmm. that's probably what it is. And what do you remember what you wrote? Not the story, but what the title was?
I said, yes, Kaysen, there is a Santa Claus.
Right.
It was obviously very, very similar on purpose. Yeah, because my son was 10 that year, 9 or 10 that year, and, you know, he'd basically just said, like, Mom, you know, level with me.
And you were having a hard time with it.
I did have a hard time with it. So, I mean, yeah.
I thought that was one of the best things you ever did.
I knew. Like, deep down, I knew that he knew. You know, you can tell by the time they're, you know, 9, 10 years old that, like, you know, you know they know, but, like, it's just one of those parts of their childhood that, like, is fun to hold on to.
I just thought that was one of the best things you ever did because you could have taken, aside from the title, you didn't take anything from the original.
Oh, right.
And you did it yourself. It turned out great. I remember people who listened to it on the air thinking it was very, very good.
Hmm.
And I just thought that was great. I thought that was a really well-done bit. And you ripped it off pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, I love to write, and obviously I usually, well, everything that I write is true to, you know, my life at the time. I mean, it's sometimes things like that are fun to write.
So that was a Christmas moment we had.
It was a fun Christmas moment, for sure.
Yeah. Now, one Christmas moment happened a week ago today, because for 6 years, you had invited me to your program.
Oh, yeah, yes, right.
Did you forget about this already?
I was like, what happened a week ago?
A week ago today.
So we at my work, we put on a, you know, preschool Christmas program every year. We've done it. This has been, I mean, I've been there for like 20 something years. And we've always done one. Early on, they were a much smaller scale. Now they've grown to be a pretty big production. I mean, it usually includes around 25 to 30 kids in two different classes. We do a little cute little Christmas program. But I mean, well over 100 people there.
Yeah, good number.
I mean, you know, a big number in the church sanctuary. So yeah, I mean, it's, I've always invited Scott to come, and, I think I've told him, you know, no, it's so much fun. It's very cute. Like, obviously it's a mess because they're, you know, 3 to 5 years old, but it's always the cutest mess. And he came this year for the first time in all of these years.
I was never opposed to coming.
No, we just, it's life. We have things.
Yeah. No, but this year you reminded me on the day of. So then I thought, okay, I'll be in the neighborhood about 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I think I can do that.
Sure. Yeah, and you came. And it was adorable.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was a good show. Yeah. No, because I had my own issues where I was that night.
Yeah.
There was a big fellow who goes to the gym a lot, and, you know, he was just he was right in my purview. And then I had the screaming baby from the well-seasoned parents.
Which is funny because, like, on stage, I can't say that I even heard or paid attention to the baby.
No, I was way in the back. I wanted to sit way in the back because I didn't have any kids involved, so I didn't want to get, these people had pictures and phones. Yeah. And at one point, I'm waving because apparently that's what you're supposed to do. So we're all waving. We're all having a good time. But that was kind of nice because I got to see you up there doing... Well, I was coming to see you. I should have waved at you because you were presenting the songs.
Yes. I mean, that's just... I don't even know how I am... I mean, I know why I'm thrust into that role, but it's just not a necessary role. But it's... The kids look for it. I don't know. It's their cue. That's how we practice it. But yeah, they are definitely way because when we are rehearsing, you know, a lot of times we're not in the sanctuary. We're in the classroom and we're trying to tell them there's going to be like your, you know, moms and dads or grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles in the audience. And, you know, when you see them, you can't run out to them. You know, you have to just kind of smile and wave. So that's our thing. We're like, just smile and wave. And God love their little hearts, man. They all listen this year. We usually have a runner. I think we did in the little class, but they just had to give grandpa a hug quick and then they came back up, which was so cute. But yeah, so smile and waving, that's the thing. You know, you just have to smile and wave.
That's true. And it was interesting because I don't think you thought I was going to come.
No, and I didn't see you when I was up there. Of course, I couldn't see. I don't really focus on any one person out in the
well, I was way audience, back.
But yeah, but I couldn't see you from where I was, or I didn't see you until the very end. I was, you know, stayed back and was picking up the chairs as everyone was going down to have cookies and punch, and there was Scott still sitting, and I was like, oh my gosh.
And you had, that was your, it was a very nice response.
Yeah,
like,
no,
oh my
super.
Gosh, I can't believe you
yeah.
came, and I didn't,
yeah.
did you sneak in, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was nice. But my favorite part of it, now here's my favorite part, because those are the two issues I had in the back. Now, I haven't said this on the air, but I said it to you that night.
Yeah.
Because you were announcing the show.
Uh-huh.
And anybody, you know, that's a stressful night. That's a stressful night.
Yeah. I mean, I have fun with it. Like, I'm not stressed to talk in front of the people.
No, I don't think that was
yeah,
a stress.
Yeah, like, I'm very comfortable with that.
But so the show is starting, and I'm sitting back there, and here you come. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I'm going to see the announcement of this show after 6 years. This is going to be great. And you start to introduce, thank you everybody for coming, and that was all fine. And then I can still remember the word. You said, this is going to be a spectacular show. And it was like, oh, you know, like, hold on, you know. And it was so funny because the inflection in your voice was so, on the word spectacular, the inflection on spectacular was so funny to me.
It probably didn't match the energy that it should have.
No.
Just remind you, like, this is after a full day of, you know, preschoolers that have too much candy, too much Christmas party, and are super, you know. I was drained. We were drained by that point. And, you know, the teachers and I included, but it's always a fun night. And that night was the same. But yes, and it's funny because I usually make this same joke every year. And I was like, was making a point not to in my head because I make notes, but I don't like read from a piece of paper. Like, I remember who I have to thank or the names that I have to say. But almost every year, like, I'll say something, you know, we've been practicing Christmas songs since Halloween, so because that's the truth, we start practicing basically the 1st of November. We're, you know, trying to learn Christmas songs because with 3 and 4 year olds, it's
6 weeks is, you know, you need it.
It's a, you know, it's a day at a time. So yeah, and then I was thinking to myself at the same, like, don't make the Halloween joke, like, don't think about, you know. And then spectacular came out.
You said
spectacular.
And the way you hit that word, it was just, oh, it made me laugh.
It's so funny because it's not even a word I use. So why it even came, I don't know the last time I used the word spectacular, but I did. Yeah. And I must have even shocked myself a little bit.
If you were trying to sell a spectacular show, that would not have been the way to do it. But
right.
It was funny. Oh, that made me laugh.
It was good.
So it was a good time.
It was a good night.
Yeah. So that was fun. That's a good Christmas memory.
It is a good. That's a new one. A new Christmas
a
memory.
A new Christmas memory.
Something we've not done is you attend my program.
Now that we have done this, I now realize we have a history of Christmas memory. Oh, and you've come to the fruitcake toss many times.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's always been fun.
It is always fun.
Yeah.
So we have things we do.
We do. We do. We have nice little things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a thoughtful nature type of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So what is new with you?
New?
What's new?
You know, obviously the last couple weeks have just been preparing for Christmas, and we still have, you know, two college wrestlers and two firefighters, and there's always things and events, and with the little one, he's not in a winter sport right now, so that's been a whole different, you know, some for your nights. But yeah, no, I mean, I've been baking cookies on Sunday. I baked cookies with Kaya, and just trying to do all the things.
Oh, what kind of cookies?
Cut out sugar cookies. Those are our, we've made those every year since the kids were little. The boys, now that they're, you know, a lot older, don't tend to get into that so much. But Kaya came over on Sunday and we made Christmas cutout cookies.
Now, you are a good cook. Now, over the years, the things that I have tasted, except the gravy. Oh, God, not the gravy.
It's delicious.
No.
But
I
bake. I like to bake. I like to bake. Cookies, cakes, pies. I loathe cooking dinner every night. So I like baking. I enjoy making sweet treats, just not so much nightly dinners.
And when I would see you on a daily basis, you would bring things a lot of the time, but also you would do special things. You're a big person for birthdays.
I do.
You're a holiday. You were a big person.
Yeah.
So good for you.
I love those things. Yeah. And I was always made it. Everything was a big deal at my house for the kids and, even still, like I have like little Valentine. I mean, every holiday I have like little decorations or something that.
Well, it was always interesting to me because, you know, anybody who knows me, and it's become a pretty known thing on this station, I like Butterfingers. Mm-hmm. So even on Valentine's Day, you would bring a little heart shaped box of Butterfingers. You were the thoughtful one in that nature.
Yeah.
And I still remember the blueberry cobbler day.
Oh, that was good.
Well, because that was impressive.
That was your birthday.
That was my birthday, yes. and it was the morning of. That I brought that up. Mm-hmm. And by 2 o'clock that afternoon, you had it. Mm-hmm. And you had it done.
Yep.
And it was not like Betty Crocker. You know, so to me, that was impressive.
Yeah, I'd never made it before, but I looked up a quick crock pot recipe for it and threw it in the crock pot, and by 2 o'clock.
Yeah, and this is like 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. It's being talked about. So, and that's a weekday.
Right.
So, see, that's the thoughtfulness that I think is very emblematic of who you are.
Yeah,
in general.
Sure.
So that's a good thing.
That's nice. Yeah, I enjoy doing those things for people. I really do. Like, I like just maybe not so much gift giving, but like if I can do something, make something that I know they'll appreciate or put a smile on their face, like, why not?
Well, I've said this before, and I think this is emblematic of the Christmas holiday. One of the reasons that I think we did hit it off so well. And really, from the first moment, mm-hmm. first time we met each other, and had no connection at all.
No.
And it was just you and I in a room, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, it was by the end of the day, it was like we had known each other a while.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. we were tasked those first few days with, like, putting things together,
right.
and, I mean, what a better way to get to know someone than, like,
then, yeah.
putting things together.
But I mean, it was about, like, the end of day two, you were sharing your writings with me, and it was just a thing.
Yeah.
So I like that. It was very quick. So my point is, though, that to me, as I've said to you before, that is the best part of you. Is that the unexpected. You go above and I had never known somebody who went that far above and beyond to do things that you didn't have to do and nobody was asking you to do and nobody would have noticed if you would not have done them.
No, but like those are the things that I enjoy doing for other people. Like I said, like it's definitely been, if I can do something small to make your day better, like why would I not do that?
Well, yeah, but I mean, in the beginning, I just remember being completely, like for the first year, the things you would do, apple butter donuts and homemade apple butter and blueberry cobbler.
COVID time definitely launched more of my.
Well, but even the blueberry, wasn't during COVID.
Yes. No, that was your birthday. But I mean, like a lot of the other little, you know, challenges with the apple. Apple butter donuts and.
But I think that was only during COVID. I think that was really the only
apple
thing.
Butter. I did make the apple butter because I had to like slow roast it in like a crock pot overnight, make the apples and all of that. I think I did that during COVID.
Yeah, but I'm saying like the first, I bet within 2 weeks of knowing you and you realizing what people liked, you would show up with that stuff.
Well, sure.
And you would show up unannounced. I mean, you showed up at the radio station in the morning a few mornings. You'd have the Diet Coke.
Yeah, I'd be like on my way to work at the time.
So
yeah.
That to me, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, who does this?
Well, sometimes I was coming in or, you know, there was.
No, but these are nice things.
Purposes behind it.
Just take the compliment.
I don't like going in to a place if I have a drink and then like, you know.
No, but you weren't always coming. But you weren't always coming in to do a show in those days.
Yeah, not always.
No, you were just nice.
Well, thanks. Those are things that, like, you know, it's like you don't need recognized for that. you know what I mean?
I'm not recognizing you. I'm just saying I think this is what a friendship is built on.
Well, sure.
Not the fact that you gave somebody something. It's the fact that you would think to do it.
Oh, okay.
It's the thought. Well, see, that counts. Like at Christmas.
Yeah, right.
It's not the gift.
It's the thought.
You put into it. All right. Now, here's a question for you. If you had your fantasy life, what would you do?
Gosh, I don't know. I know I would do more traveling. I mean, like, I don't have a dream job because, like, honestly, who dreams of working? Like, no, thank you. So, like, obviously in my dream, I don't have a job. So I can go travel and see all the things. And I don't know, like, fantasy life, that's tough. I mean, like, I love my life as it is, but, like, I would love having, you know, endless amounts of, like, money and time to go do whatever it is I wanted to do, which would obviously be going to see things and all of that.
You know, I don't know about the job thing because, you know, when you talk to younger people about their fantasy life, because I've asked a few people this recently because I think this is an interesting question. Mm-hmm. Some people want to be sports stars, which, I mean, people don't think of that as a job, but it could be. And people want to be great musicians. Mm-hmm. And that's a job. Some people want to be great golfers. I ran into somebody who wanted to be a great golfer.
Yeah.
They wanted to do that with their life. They wish they could do that with their life. And I thought, that's so interesting. That's a great fantasy to have. Yeah, but they see it as a fantasy. And I guess the other day, it also came to fruition when I had Larry Barnett and Mary Ellen in here because they both, that they had lived their fantasy life, that he was the youngest umpire in Major League Baseball history. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted to do. He got paid to do it. Mm-hmm. He loved it. It was his, he feels he is blessed and has become more spiritual later in life mm-hmm. because looking back, realizing he got to live his fantasy life.
Yeah, it's very
and,
cool.
And Mary Ellen said the same thing. She said, if you would have told me when I was younger that this would have happened to me, I've had a wonderful life. I've had my fantasy life.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I think some people do live their fantasy life.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
so I'm always interested what people's fantasy life is.
Yeah, I don't think mine, while I love the work that I do, I don't know that I can imagine doing anything else, but also I don't know that that's part of my fantasy. Like if I can, fantasy life, if I can pick.
That's interesting.
I don't know if I would
choose. You wouldn't be a writer?
Yeah, but I think, again, I feel like that'd be something that, like, I just did for fun, like I, you know, like I do now.
This is interesting. We're getting a message out here from a listener. This is interesting.
Okay.
It says, she has a servant's heart. It's her love language. Remember, we talked about love languages once. We talked about love language. It gives her joy. Paying attention to the little things that make a friend happy. Paying attention.
Yeah. No, that he's right. Like, I do pick up on the little things.
Yeah.
I think I sent you, like, one of my favorite songs that last...
Yeah, we did that last week. Yes,
and it was definitely a Smaller Axe is the name of the song. Yeah. So I definitely.
No, we do that. We have a little bonding every so often over songs.
Yeah, no, we'll send a new song that we hear. We just did this.
You just said this recently.
Like last week.
What's the song? Ordinary. Yeah. I love that song.
Yeah. What's his name? Warren? Oh.
Yeah, he's not.
I can't think of
Alex? Alex Warren?
Alex Warren, maybe.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't even know him. I couldn't spot him in a crowd. But
right.
I love the song because there's just something about it. And I heard it recently.
Yeah, it's
and
a good
I
song.
And I thought, geez, that's very good. That's because I expected it, because the way it was presented to me, it was kind of a religious type of a song. And then I listened to I didn't pick that up at all.
It didn't hit me. I don't think.
Because maybe I was thinking it was going to be like that, you know where they have the churches and like the big rock groups come in and they're the, what do they call that? It's like some kind of, it's not a church band, but it's like church music that is rock and roll-ish type of thing.
I think you're losing me. Like it's at a church all the time. Every Sunday service.
Like
they
these
have
church
this,
bands that draw 23,000 people
in
stadiums and travel the country. I thought that's what it was
like
going to be.
Gospel, like, groups or whatever. Yeah.
But they're not like gospel groups used to be. They're usually younger themed.
Oh, right. Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that tour. I mean, they're musicians.
Well, that's what I thought it was going to be. Because usually the music, the tone, the tempo, and the sound is different, but the wording is still very church-oriented. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I thought this was going to be. Oh. And not that I would have been opposed to that, mm-hmm. but it wasn't.
No, yeah,
and,
it's a good
song. That's, I just thought, boy, that's a great song. I think I was listening to it this morning when I came in. So very, very good song.
You like jam out to it?
I certainly do.
You sing the words?
Some of them.
Really?
I can do some of them.
Hmm. No, I mean like when you're in your car, you sing them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. What's wrong with that?
No, I just was curious.
You sing?
Yeah, I do.
So, and you also play the, how's that going? The kazoo? No, harmonica. I knew what it was. I knew it.
It's good. No, it's fun. Like, I have learned a couple songs, and no, it's just fun. It's just a fun little thing. I usually play it in my car.
See, those things about you impressed me. Like, out of the blue, you'll say, oh, I'm trying to learn the harmonica.
Yeah.
And I think, what? You're trying to learn the harmonica?
Like somebody had said, it was one of the easiest instruments to learn because there's like 10 notes. Obviously, there's different keys of harmonicas that you can get, which I've upped my game now. I have two different keys. I have a key G and a key C.
I'm impressed. Do you carry the harmonica around?
I actually took it out of my purse. It's in my car, though, because I took it out of my purse when I was Christmas shopping. But
you could have had a Christmas moment here.
I don't know any Christmas songs. But
none?
I didn't. I didn't even try to learn those.
That's, darn. No.
I can't think of a good Christmas song with harmonica. So,
like Jingle Bells, those wouldn't be hard, would they?
I don't know.
Okay. So what do you know? What do you know?
You know, the most recent one that I learned to play was Broken Window Serenade by Whiskey Myers.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's hard. It's a hard one, but it's fun. I've been trying to learn Nine Ball with Zach Bryan. That was the one that required me to get a different key harmonica. So that's my two latest, I think.
You know, this is not a Christmas memory, but this just, when you were going through the country music there, that's another memory I have, is sitting in the office, very small office that we had at the school at the time with you and Michelle, mm-hmm. and you were just going into the, who was the, I can't remember who the musician was, but you were just singing right along. And I thought, this is so funny. Because the song was, it was one of, it was like a 90s country song.
Okay.
Is what it was. But that was fun.
I do love music, so it's hard to tell.
But then every time I would ask you to sing, it was like, no, Scott, I'm not singing. No. You try to get everybody to sing. I'm not doing it.
No, like I'm not a good singer. Like I don't claim to like.
But Christmas. No.
I would not. Singing on
air. We're
like,
not expecting
air?
Like Bocelli or something.
I would sing with the kids. Like we sang, like there was different times. Like I'll sing with people, but I'm not a. Like, no, by no means am I.
No.
Musically
I wasn't
inclined, like with my with vocally. No.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you would do it in private.
Sure.
But you would not do it in public.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's all.
That's fair.
Okay. Have you heard of the bird theory on TikTok?
I have.
I love this. I think this is great.
I think it's cute.
And I think most people are lying about it. Now, I've seen some honest ones, but I think some people are lying because who wants to admit that nobody's paying attention to them? But apparently, if you don't know about the bird theory on TikTok, it is supposed to be emblematic of how successful your relationship is. Mm-hmm. But you have to play by the rules, and you have to go to whoever your significant other is in your life, mm-hmm. and all you can say, and it's a quote, you can only say the quote, you have to say, I saw a bird today. Mm-hmm. I saw a bird today. That's all you can say. And whatever their response is, if they're like, what kind of bird? What if that, yeah. that means they're interested in you and what you're saying. And if they do not, or they don't even ask a follow-up, or just like, you know, one of those,
yeah.
that's supposed to mean things are trouble. There's trouble in the neighborhood. Really? Yeah. I think that's interesting because, I certainly don't want a significant other. But I have done this with people just to see if they're paying attention to me now.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
that's the thing. I don't think it has to be a significant other thing.
Well, that's what also, it was. That's how it was presented.
For sure, yeah. But, like, I mean, but I already know. I mean, I feel like, obviously, if you just said, I saw a bird today, I mean, my first question would be, like, is that it? Like, is there more to that? Like, that's just not a statement you say. So, I think I would feel like.
But I think you're supposed to say no.
Like, what's the rest?
And you say no, and they say, okay, what kind of bird? I would ask you what kind of bird.
Yeah, no, I think so. Like, I would too. I mean, no, I agree.
Then it would go into, why are we talking about birds, you know? But that's paying attention.
Right.
I think the point is here, some people just,
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like, for me, it's like the matching energy thing. Like, there's nothing worse than someone who's like excited about something and then somebody else, you know, just downplays it. You know, if I come in, I'm like, oh my God, I am so excited about going to, I don't know, whatever, the zoo today. And you're like, oh, like, why are you excited? Like,
well, but that,
you know what I mean? Like, that's a whole different thing. Like, I don't, like,
But that can be a different thing, though.
I think matching someone's energy like that is...
Because I have been asked to go to things that I did not want to go to. But I knew that I was obligated to go. And I knew very well that I was going to have to go. So I was not particularly thrilled about going, but I would go. But it doesn't mean that I don't like the person. No, it just means I didn't want to do the thing.
I think just there's nothing worse than someone who, like, you know... craps on somebody's happiness for something that they're excited about doing.
Oh, I don't think that's
good. Like, you know, if they're excited about doing something. And same thing with a bird. Like, I feel like you have to kind of match the energy. Like, if you're like, I saw a bird today, I'd be like, I think I would definitely say, is there more? Like,
you know what's like, interesting, what's though? What I heard an interest, because I don't really pay attention to the TikTok, but I saw this somewhere, and it was a group of people talking about it.
Yeah.
And one of the people said something I thought was very interesting. They said that a lot of people are afraid to truly do it because they, not that this is scientific, but that they believe that the other person that will not live up to their expectation is not going to do well.
Well, that's sad for them.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that is sad.
That is sad.
But, no, I've enjoyed asking people, you know, I guess it's not an ask. It's just, I saw a bird today and waiting for their response.
Right.
Yeah. And some people have some pretty interesting responses, you know, like what the, you know, are you talking about? But they're paying attention.
Now that you're talking about it and my phone's in the room, it's going to, like, pick it up. So now my videos will probably be
all
like
the birds.
Bird videos.
I know. We're all surveilled now.
We're all surveilled.
Okay, let's see here. Some Christmas topics. Should you give Santa help? Should you give him a list? Do you like lists or do you like just buying for people?
I mean... So as a mom, like I appreciate a list, especially for my kids that are older because even now, like Kaysen's, my youngest is 13. So, but I mean, I want to give gifts that obviously are, you know, they want, but also something that they're going to use and not is just going to like sit in a closet or, you know, be put away. I would like to give gifts of people that if I don't know what they like or what they would want, I you know, a list.
You know, I will take a list, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do what I want to do. Like, I mean, if I
think it's weird to get a list from anyone, like, but your kids, though. Like, if you gave me a list of, like, gift ideas, I would probably think, what the heck?
But you've asked. You say, is there anything interesting to you, blah, blah, blah. Like, people will hint around. They don't ask for an outright list.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never, like, in my adult life, I've never given a list of gifts for someone to get me. I think that's weird.
Really?
Yeah, no, definitely
not. No. See, well, I have the bad Christmas experience of being engaged on Christmas Eve. And so I always feel that that might have been a list.
You should have asked for a list for that one.
Well, I should have because I could have avoided that whole disaster and never been engaged, even though I don't really feel I was. So when people ask me have you ever been married? I say no. And they go, have you ever been engaged? And I don't know really how to answer that question because I truly don't believe I was because I did not ask anybody to marry me.
But did somebody ask you?
No.
So then I would say no.
No, but they announced that I was engaged to the group of people, family members, at the Christmas Eve party.
That's a them problem, then.
Yeah, but I had to go along with it because I didn't want to ruin Christmas.
No.
Oh, yes, you do.
Just go along with it?
You think that would have been a bad... I was living with the person at the time.
I mean, I think I would have had
to
say...
Can you imagine what that would have been like after the people left? If I would have said, what?
It wasn't awkward anyway after the people left?
Here's what happened. Okay, she gets the people together on Christmas Eve. The whole family's there. Her family, my family, it's at the house we were living in at the time. And she says, I have an announcement to make. And I'm thinking, what's this?
Stop.
No, I truly did not know. I swear to you. I did not know what
had
the announcement was.
Had you been talking about getting married leading up to it?
Like, she had alluded to it, but there had been nothing. There was no ring.
No real conversation, though?
No.
Like,
no, certainly not about engagement. She might have bought a bridal magazine somewhere along the way, but I mean, I didn't ask anybody anything. So on the Christmas Eve, she says, I have an announcement to make, and I'm waiting to hear what the announcement is, because, this will be life-changing. And she says, Scott and I are engaged, and I'm you know, it was like that. What?
She says Scott and I are engaged, and say, like, Scott and I are going to get married?
No, engaged.
See, I would have said that in a different way.
And the family immediately, the reaction, oh... Oh, and I see, you don't dump on that parade, because then you're going to tick the family off, and then you're going to tick her off.
I mean, my face would not have hidden it, my thoughts.
No, I'm sure the face was shocked. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. And frankly, I didn't want to deal with it that night, because when they all left, I thought, oh, this is going to be a great Christmas Eve if I have to have this discussion. So I just, you know, but trust me, that was Christmas Eve. By June,
yeah, you just go
gone.
She was
gone. Well, because I felt that was bad.
I mean, I feel like that if you've never asked the question, like, I feel like it's fair, or had the question asked you, I think it's fair to say that you've never been engaged.
I would never ask that question.
No, I don't know. Yeah, that is kind of a weird question. Like, have you ever been married? No. Like, I would leave it at that. I wouldn't say, have you ever been engaged?
No, I would never ask him to marry me. I mean, I can't even ever ask. Those words would never come out of my mouth, even if I thought. Because yeah. I've had those conversations with different girls over the years.
Yeah.
But those words could never come out of my mouth. So I know that in my mind, there's a problem. Just they could not come out. I mean, they wouldn't. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't spit them out. There's no way.
Okay. You've told me this before.
And it would. I'd be a problem.
Yeah.
It'd be a problem. But that was a Christmas Eve story. Okay, here we go. This is interesting. Some friends pay attention. Some friends pay attention when they need something. I would say that's true.
Yeah, for sure.
People who settle won't ask. I think that's true, too. I try to listen during the year when someone says, I wish, or I always wanted one of these. When someone opens a gift and it's something you had to pay attention to know, remember the follow-through. The look in their eyes is priceless. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And I think a lot of times if you can find... I don't look for things necessarily that they want. I'm not good enough to remember what somebody wants during the year. But I try to find something that maybe you can't reproduce. Mm-hmm. It's going to be specifically for them.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how I handle that.
That's nice.
Okay, the minimalist Christmas. Did you know that a lot of people are going for the minimalist Christmas this year? That Santa Claus is thin... And not necessarily wearing a red outfit. And people are putting bare Christmas trees up with no ornaments on them. So that's called the minimalist Christmas. What do you think of that?
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's a thing this year.
I can definitely see, like, you know, maybe, you know, easy on the gifts and, you know, heavy on the family time or other traditions like that. I like that idea. I do have one Christmas tree. I have my main Christmas tree has all of the ornaments that my kids have made over the years. And even when I was little, I have ornaments on my tree from the year I was born. I do all like a, you know, traditional, I don't even know what you want to call it.
They have ornaments from the 60s?
Get out of here. I was not born in the 60s. I do have a tree. But the point of this story is in my front room, I do have a tree that I feel like is it's like my favorite room to sit in my house, but it has no ornaments on it. It has like the old, like the bigger, like C9 bulbs on there. And, it sits in like a little like bucket type thing with burlap around it. And it's very cute. But it doesn't have any ornaments on it. And it's been that way now for like 5 years, so it's never going to have ornaments on it. It just has lights, and it's just pretty.
I don't like a thin Santa.
I don't either. I don't get that. Santa's kind of throws jolly. Right. No, I don't know what that means.
Santa was at the Christmas party last night.
Fun.
Yeah, we had fun with that.
Did you sit on his lap?
I did not sit on his lap. Nobody sat on his lap last night, but he was very jolly.
He was
very jolly. He sang with us.
Oh, that's fun.
It was a beautiful moment last night.
Very nice.
We did our same numbers. I thought it was very nice. Do you still send Christmas cards?
I do not. I don't know that I can't say I never have, because I feel like I did a couple of years, but, I know I did one year. I was like my first year, I don't know, Luke was maybe like two, and I had Christmas pictures done and they made cards. But not, no, I don't. And it's one thing that I wish that I did do, because I enjoy receiving them. So I do wish that I was better at sending cards. Like Christmas cards.
You know, all the years we've been at the station, this particular station, 12 years now, 12 Christmases, if you go into those tubs, those Rubbermaid tubs where the Christmas decorations go, the cards are in there.
Yeah, I love that. I keep them. Like, in my house, I have the cards. I've received, like, a handful of cards this year, and I have two of them on my refrigerator, and one sits on, like, my countertop, because decoration of Christmas stuff. I love that.
Yeah. And I was telling last night during the Christmas party, you know, over the years, I got Christmas cards from Phyllis Diller. She used to send them every year. The Amazing Kreskin used to send them every year. I've gotten them from Mary Ellen Withrow. And those are fun to me because Kreskin and Phyllis Diller are gone.
Right.
So to get those out every year and people know who they were, Same thing with Mary Ellen. She's still with us, thank goodness. But people know who they are, so they look at those Christmas cards, and they're always interested to see what they wrote or what it was about.
Like display them like garland. Get one of those little things that you can just put like little clips and like display them.
We've discussed this before. I'm not crafty in that way. Like at one point, we had a studio that you came in where none of the pictures were in frames.
This is true. Yeah.
And this was upsetting to you that these pictures were not in frames.
Yeah, because I mean, you had some cool pictures of yourself with people you had interviewed over the years, and like they were just like tacked to the wall.
I definitely
feel like those deserved a frame. And a proper display.
I have said this. For all the things that I am not a good biographer of myself. I am not good at keeping that stuff.
But you are, because you have all these pictures.
I have them.
You have them.
But to me, they're just pictures. They were like something that somebody gave me, and they're there.
But you're taking time to tack them on the wall. So
well, something has to go on the wall.
I agree. I think you have the right things on the wall. I just think that they deserve a frame.
Yeah, but they're not there anymore. See, so that, I mean, that's...
Some of them are.
Some
of them moved.
I don't know. It's just one of those things where you're never that interested in yourself, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe.
You know? Like, I don't think...
I would agree.
I don't think anything of the Phyllis Diller Christmas card, but other people do.
Sure.
So it's because I think it's your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
It is fun.
It's fun. So, what Christmas is your favorite holiday? Why?
I love all the things with it. Like, I love, like, of course, you know, the making the all the traditions. I think I had a very good, childhood memories of Christmas, and I want to make sure I created those for my kids. All of the things. I mean, baking cookies and driving around looking at Christmas lights, and grabbing hot chocolate on a random night, or watching Christmas movies. Like, I love all that. Even on Christmas Eve each year, we still, like, when all the kids are home and, they're old now, but everybody still stays at home on Christmas Eve, and we watch a movie. Sometimes it's Christmas themed, and sometimes it's not. Last year, hilariously, it was Die Hard. In the past, we've watched
Which is not Step a Christmas
Brothers.
Movie,
it's
by the
not,
way.
It's not, as they say. I know,
as they
but
claim,
it was, like,
it's
it was
a
kind
claim.
Of like the funny, that was kind of like the funny thing about it. And I had technically never seen Die Hard, like, start to finish. So, we did that.
I don't think I have either.
It's just something fun. Like, usually I make, like, snacks that night of, maybe something sweet, or, little things for them to eat, and... Maybe we're not intently watching the movie, but we sit and, we snug up and watch the movie.
What's your best Christmas? What's the Christmas you remember the most?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. There was one that still stands out. It was the year that we had very bad weather, not most recently, like a couple of years ago, but we had very bad weather. My kids were little. It was before I had Kaysen, so we're obviously more than 13 years ago. But we had the big gift that year that my kids wanted was a Wii. And they got a Wii for Christmas. And we spent hours. Like, we would stay up. I feel like we had to stay home. The weather was bad. Like, we were home for a couple of days. And, when that happens, your sleep schedule's off. The kids are up too late. They're up too early. And we played games and took turns, and it stands out because they were so happy. They were so little. They wanted me to do the things with them. Like, they wanted mom to play, and just seeing that, like, how happy they were and all of those things, I think. And maybe it was because we did have to stay home and it was just kind of us for a little while. I loved that. I don't know.
It's interesting. Even though you love Christmas and obviously have these great Christmas memories, is it hard in a way that the kids are older now?
It is. I mean, like, of course, like, I'm thankful that they still, all come home and spend the night on Christmas Eve. And, I also am aware that, those Christmas Eves are numbered. So I don't take any of it for granted. It is hard. I love that I still have, a 13-year-old that's home, and but all of my kids still get so excited for Christmas. Like, even one of my stepsons, I just got a message from them the other day, and he was like, I cannot wait to get home so we can bake things. Like, he loves that. Like, he and I, like, we'll cook, he'll send me a recipe if he knows he's coming home that weekend, and we'll make it together, or I'll make it for him. And he just said the other night, he's like, I cannot wait to get home and bake cookies. I was like, so I hope that those are traditions that they take with them too when, they're not coming back home, but, on Christmas Eve. But yeah.
Well, I think Christmas is really about the memories. I mean,
there's
a lot of things going on.
Even now, like, very rarely, like, even if I were looking back to, like, Christmases of my childhood, like, I can't tell you what I got for Christmas when I was 10 years old. But I remember going to my grandparents' house on Christmas Eve. And I remember, going to my dad's mom's and my mom's mom, my mom's family. Like, those I love. I love those memories.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what it is, because there's a lot of talk about Christmas being commercialized and all, and that's been an ongoing conversation for hundreds of years now. But the truth of the matter, I think, is that Christmas is really about the memories. That's really what it is, no matter who it is. I mean, there are people who are long gone now that weren't even family members that I had very unique Christmas memories with. I mean, I was talking the other day, for many years, I went to Mass on Christmas Eve. I don't do that anymore because the things at my house and I don't get out in time, but that is a memory that sticks out that really is not, it doesn't touch on a family note with me, but it was the people I would go with.
Right.
And that was just something, I don't know how you forget that.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
So Christmas is important in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think traditions are very important.
What's your favorite Christmas song?
Oi.
You just convert?
I know it's
Yiddish. You did a little Yiddish
there. You know, we have that. You have that random breakout into an accent moment.
So maybe Every so often.
I feel like I'm controversial in the fact that I really, really like the, you know, Baby It's Cold Outside song. I don't feel like it's offensive.
Do people even talk about that anymore? We had like one year where that was offensive.
But I like that. And I don't know if it's a tune or what. And of course, I love the, you know, it's not Christmas unless it's like the Mariah Carey, you know.
You like the Mariah Carey.
Christmas. I do like it because it's
not bad.
Upbeat. You can sing along. You know, everybody, like, you sing along to it. I don't know if I have a favorite, but like, I do love having Christmas music on. I mean, like at home or, you know.
So you like the more contemporary?
It depends. Like, usually when there's a mix on at home, like, you can find the station and it's like some of both. There's older stuff, there's newer stuff. Like, nothing beats White Christmas. I do have a record player at home that is in my basement. I do love having like a record on with Christmas music, but I haven't done that for a few years.
I have the records. I have a bunch of Christmas records, and that's one of the things I do like to do because they're offbeat records. Like Arthur Treacher singing Christmas songs, and he could not sing, but boy, he's shouting Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and it's funny.
Yeah,
but it's the Christmas songs.
Yeah, I haven't got the record player out, but I only have one, and it's just like a mix of songs, but I should do that this year. It'd be fun.
And I have, has the thing.
Yeah, nothing sounds better than like the crackle.
No, the crackle's there.
Yes.
And you know, I have the Sesame Street one and some of the Disney ones from when I was a child and all that sort of thing. It's very, very nice.
It's very fun, yeah.
You know, and that's, but they're not that old, you know, only maybe, what, 20 years old.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
I think that's nice.
Very, records were, yeah. Just keep moving. I don't know what else to say about that.
You got to be nice. What's your Christmas wish this year?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I have a Christmas wish. I just
everybody's got to want something to happen at Christmas.
Really? I don't know.
Not necessarily want something, but want something to happen for people.
Yeah, I'm excited for all the kids to be home, and I hope we have some time that while they're home, whether it's on Christmas Day or, you know, the days around it, just to kind of slow down and hang out. Like, that's my most favorite thing to do with the kids, just hang out. You know, inevitably we end up around the kitchen island, everybody's talking, like, those are the best days. So
now listen, we are down to like the last 5 minutes here.
No,
I'm just saying, can you believe 2 hours, just you and I, nobody else here, and I do not think that this was there was no animosity, no big arguments, no big whoop-de-doos.
No, that's typically us. Like, obviously there's always an underlying banter, but there's never any issues. Like, we can obviously have these conversations and it's fun,
and I think that's the point.
Of course.
I think some people don't get that half the time, but it is that.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody takes it personally.
No.
Except you. Sometimes.
But then I tell you.
You do. But now, see, let me tell that story since we got 5 minutes, because I think this is a good story. Because you have to get to know people when you first meet them. And tell me, this is absolutely true. I first met you, and...
Is Matt alive?
What?
Matt is alive? Matt alive?
I guess
he's, I thought he just popped up like Matt.
No, I don't think he's alive. Okay. Oh, who knows?
Okay.
But no, when we first met, and within like the first 6 months, I don't even remember still what it was. I didn't know what it was at the time. But I know we were together taping something, and I said something to you that ticked you off. And I remember at the time thinking, you know, her attitude kind of changed during that. Something's wrong. So I asked you that night. I said, is there something wrong? Mm-hmm. No. Not at all.
Again,
no.
You know this about me, though. Like,
now. This was the first time.
I will have to, like, sit with it for a minute.
I mean, it was like a couple weeks.
Like, process it. decide if it was offensive or if I took it offensively. Like, that's a, you know, and then I'm fine.
But no, we kept talking for 2 weeks, but it was just a little chilly. It was a little chilly.
Maybe. I don't know, maybe.
And then finally you went back to your normal self, and I said, what was wrong? Why were you acting funny the last couple of weeks? And you're like, because you said such and such. And you, like, quoted it right out there.
Right, because
and I said,
right.
I asked you that day if that ticked you off. And you said no.
Because I'm not, I don't want to react and, like, to something if it, like, I try not to react. I don't want a knee-jerk reaction to something that, and say something that I'm going to not be happy with myself. Like, I'd rather think about it and realize, like, okay, no, like, he probably didn't mean it that way. It's just the way that you took it. Like, is it a you problem or a me problem? If it's a me problem, I just sit with it and then be fine.
Yeah, but at the moment, I probably would have said, well, no, I think it's just no big deal.
Maybe.
Okay. What is the meaning of Christmas for you? As we approach the end of this 2-hour hullabaloo.
I don't know. Like, gosh, Scott, these are like
these are deep questions, aren't they?
I mean,
what's your fantasy life?
Right.
What's the meaning
Holy
of Christmas?
Cow, you're making me think this morning. I don't know if I have a meaning to Christmas, but obviously, like, it's family and it's traditions and it's just being together. Obviously, I love buying gifts for people. I love that whole aspect of it. But I mean, truly, I am not the type. I do not care if I do not have one present under the tree if everyone's there. Like, it's
people.
It's the people, 100%.
It's the people. You know, kind of like it's not a Christmas song, but the 4th of July song I like the best is The House I Live In with Frank Sinatra, because it goes through a lot of stuff, but basically at the end it says, what does America mean to me? It's the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel that that's what Christmas is too. It's not the lights, and it's not the trees, and it's not Santa Claus, and it's not, it's the people.
Yeah.
It's the people, and it's the feeling in the air that hopefully comes, you know? We sang last night, one of the songs we sing every year is I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about somebody who's not home mm-hmm. for Christmas. So you get home in your mind.
Yeah.
And I think that's the truth.
It is, yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you came in.
Me too. Good time. No, it's always, I knew it was going to be fun. It's just, you know, scheduling and getting here. So
No, that's no problem. Yeah. I always understand. I've never said anything
always
when you
fun.
Couldn't show up somewhere. No, but I did think this year, as I said with Christian the other day, I thought, wouldn't it be fun, instead of doing the typical celebrity things that I normally do at Christmas and bringing people in like that and having people call in and reading Twas the Night Before Christmas mm-hmm. or doing the Christmas skits. We might do some of that next week.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of doing that, wouldn't it be great to bring people in who are a part of your life? But maybe you don't see all the time. Christian would have been one of those.
Sure.
You're obviously one of those. But you have an ongoing conversation with, and actually sitting together and reminiscing
yeah.
about personal Christmas memories and things like that. So I think this is fun. I do, you know, here's my message to people for the Christmas holiday. Call somebody up who you haven't talked to in a while. Take a moment. Call them up. Ask them how they're doing. Have a fun conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh about it. Go out to dinner with somebody. I know these things take time,
mm-hmm.
but I really do believe the hallmark of any friendship is time. You just have
sure.
to do it at some
yeah,
time.
Absolutely.
You got to put the work in. You got to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to show up at some point.
Very true.
So I think this is what people should do. Write a note to somebody. Give somebody a Christmas card. Leave it outside their door. Surprise somebody. Leave something on somebody's
yeah.
walk who you know, but maybe you don't keep up with as well. Do what we just did here. Share Christmas memories. You don't think about those all the time.
Right.
But once you start thinking about them, they come flooding back. And I think that's very, very nice.
Good times.
Good times. And it was great to have you in. It's always fun to have you in.
Thank you.
And I appreciate that you came in. And I appreciate all the Christmas memories that we've had together and the ones that we'll have in the future because
yeah.
I think that's nice.
To many more.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Scott.
Be back after this. To legendary voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, actress, movie star Pat Carroll performing.